Good morning. I'm Rick Teta. I'm one of the pastors at Faith Community. I'm on the leadership team who coordinates the Shoes for Shoeless ministry, which took place yesterday. I wasn't here 2 weeks ago to thank you for taking all the names off the board that was in your worship space. So I'm here today to say thank you. 2 weeks ago, we served 131 children. We took in 19 more names yesterday, so our total was 150 children. And this winter, we saw the shoes were really worn out, and the kids had a severe need. So I thank you for your generosity, your prayers, your support, for your leadership, for everything that you've done to make that possible. Thank you so much. Today, as Pastor Derek said, we're focusing on the Apostle Peter. He's been traveling with Jesus, but now he comes home. When he comes home, he finds that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. One of his family members is sick. And so hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. This ends the reading. I was sitting in a hospital room in the waiting area, waiting for the doctor to come out and talk to us about my grandmother's surgery. We were there waiting for the doctor, and it seemed like time just crawled by. Seconds seemed like minutes, minutes like hours, hours like days. Then the eventful moment came. The doctor came out and spoke to us. But before he spoke to us, he invited us into a private room. When he closed the door, you could hear a pin drop. Our complete and undivided attention was focused on the doctor and what he was about to say. We had so many unanswered questions. Is she all right? Were there any complications with the surgery? What will the future hold? What is the next step in the healing process? At that moment, we gave the doctor our complete attention. At that moment, nothing else mattered to my family. Have you ever waited for a doctor to come out and speak to your family about one of your loved ones who's had surgery? You know that can be a nerve-wracking experience. Sitting there, knowing there's nothing else you can do except wait and pray. The Apostle Peter is having one of these moments. Peter is at home, and there's nothing he can do. And so he turns to Jesus, the great physician. He turns to Jesus for help. In this moment, Peter gives Jesus his complete and undivided attention. In this moment, nothing else matters to Peter except for his wife's mother. When we come to the great physician for healing, we come in faith, praying for Jesus to extend his healing touch upon us. We pray asking Jesus to heal our sickness, to cleanse our bodies of disease, and to mend our injuries. We come in faith, knowing it is in the healing nature of God to mend our brokenness. This morning, I'm going to share some healing stories with you. I hope they touch your heart. Sometimes healing takes place in the way that we ask, and sometimes it comes in unexpected ways. But all of this is to lead us to think about our own healing stories, and perhaps today or after worship today, you'll get a chance to share your healing stories with one another. Our first story comes from a book called Miracles Happen When You Pray It was written by Quinn Shearer. It's a story about Nick Lovett. Nick was 25 years old when he was at the grocery store and he tripped over a grocery cart. Within 24 hours, he learned that he broke his foot. 48 hours later, gout set in his broken foot. Gout is acute rheumatoid arthritis, which most commonly affects the joint in the big toe. Over the next 2 years, Nick's foot, ankle, and calf had swollen up. He developed calcium spurs in both of his feet. The pain in his feet was bearable only with high dosages of pain medicine. One night, the pain became unbearable even with his medicine. Nick was so miserable, he prayed, "Lord, I cannot go on with this pain and be a good father, husband, and provider for my family. The pain is too much. I cannot take it anymore. Lord Jesus, you must do something." The next morning, when Nick rolled out of bed, he stood up and the pain was gone. He cautiously walked around. No pain. He went to the doctors to get an x-ray. The doctor told him that every calcium spur in his foot was gone. And the doctor said, "I have no explanation." And Nick said, "I do. I prayed. I asked God to heal me." I have known people who have received a physical healing miracle. Perhaps you know some too. When I go to the hospital to pray with a family who is hurting, I put my trust in God, who has the power to fully heal. And moreover, God's healing can go even deeper than our physical needs. God's healing can renew a sense of purpose in our lives. Do you remember when Jesus touches the hand of Peter's mother-in-law? The fever leaves her, and then what does she do? She gets up and she begins to serve them. That's exactly right. She begins to serve Jesus and his disciples. She wants to make sure everyone has something to eat. That was her purpose. She wanted to extend hospitality to Peter and his friends. For Nick, the pain in his foot was unbearable, but what was even worse was the thought of not being able to serve his family. That pained him more. Jesus heals so we can serve him. Jesus heals so we can serve the people in our lives. Healing can renew our bodies. It can also renew a sense of purpose within us, all for the glory of God. This next story is meaningful to me because I have a daughter who struggles with this. Have you ever heard the expression unlocking the code? It is an expression used by reading teachers. When people get to the point in their lives when reading becomes fluent, the reading teacher will say they have unlocked the code. For some people, unlocking the code takes an enormous amount of work and energy. Neurologically, their brain processes information differently. It is not to say this is bad or wrong, it's just different. There's no shame in having a learning difference. However, it can be frustrating for those who have to work harder at reading and writing. Joan Anderson tells the story of Sam Lynch in her book titled The Power of Miracles. Sam was a carpenter by trade. One day, Sam heard God's call to build a church. Sam made the plans and did most of the work himself. And finally, after the church was completed, the congregation asked Sam to be the first one to read scripture from the pulpit. This request made Sam nervous because he couldn't read. He was very frustrated. He had struggled with reading for most of his life. So Sam and his wife decided it was best for him to memorize the passage. And so when he stands up in front of the church, he would just pretend that he's reading, but actually he'd have it memorized and just not tell the congregation no, but he would do it, but have it memorized. So there he was on the day of the dedication. Sam started reading his memorized passage, and then there were some words after the passage that he started to read too. And he started to read those words, and he read some more. He just kept right on reading. And that moment, Sam unlocked the code. In his testimony, he would say, it's like Lazarus. When Jesus cried to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out," God gave Lazarus the ability to walk out of the tomb. Sam says, God gave him the ability to read. And he just read from the Bible on the first day of church. God helped Sam unlock the code. Here is a third healing story. I need my prop. There's a book called The Hidden Hand of God. This is about a man named Lloyd. He tells how God healed him after he was diagnosed with macular degeneration. On the day that the doctor told Lloyd that he was legally blind, his wife drove him home. He went to his back porch and stared out the window gloomily. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He had a hard time reconciling the fact that he wasn't able to drive his car, read a book, or write letters to his friends. He sat there for hours. One of his family members hooked him up with a man named Mike Cordero. When Mike came over to Lloyd's house, he had a leather jacket on and these cool sunglasses. Mike was so cheerful. Lloyd couldn't get over how cheerful he was. Mike helped Lloyd by getting him books on tape, a computer with a powerful magnifying glass, and software that enlarged the text on the screen. Lloyd appreciated all of Mike's help, but he still felt depressed. What really touched Lloyd's heart was when Mike took off his sunglasses and he learned that Mike was blind too. Mike had gone through everything that Lloyd was going through now. And it was at that point that God healed his heart. God touched his soul. Mike made it a point of not being gloomy anymore, but to focus on the good things he could do for others. He was no longer going to feel sorry for himself. Healing didn't come in the form of a physical miracle, but healing took place when Lloyd became friends with another person who had walked through the same difficult times that he was now experiencing. There's some stories. I encourage you to share your healing stories. Phyllis Shope this morning told me that her great-grandson is cancer-free. They've been praying for him. His name's Chase. He's 15 years old. He's gone through all kinds of treatments. So we praise God for healing miracle. I want to end with this poem. It's called The Master's Touch. It is based on the story of Peter's healing, of Jesus' healing of Peter's mother-in-law. The author is unknown. The poem is for all caregivers who, by the grace of God, offer a healing touch. He touched her hand and the fever left her. He touched her hand as he only can. With the wondrous skill of the great physician, with the tender touch of the Son of Man. And the fever pain in the throbbing temples died out with the flush on brow and cheek. And the lips that had been so parched and burning trembled with thanks that she could not speak. And the eyes where the fever light had faded looked up by her grateful tears made dim. And she rose and ministered to her household. She rose and ministered unto him. He touched her hand and the fever left her. Oh, blessed touch of the man divine. So beautiful then to rise and serve him when the fever is gone from your life and mine. It may be the fever of restless serving, with heart all thirsty for love and praise, and eyes all aching and strained with yearning toward self-set goals in the future days. Or it may be a fever of spirit anguish, some tempest of sorrow that dies not down, to the cross at last is in meekness lifted, and the head stoops low for the thorny crown. Or it may be a fever of pain and anger, when the wounded spirit is hard to bear, and only the Lord can draw forth the arrows left carelessly, cruelly rankling there. Whatever the fever, his touch can heal it. Whatever the tempest, his voice can still. There is only joy as we seek his pleasure. There is only a rest as we seek his will. And someday, after life's fitful fever, I think we shall say in the home on high, if the hands that he touched but did his bidding, how little it matters what else went by. Ah, Lord, thou knowest us all together, each heart's sore sickness, whatever it be. Thou touch our hands, let the fever leave us, and so shall we minister unto thee. Amen.